game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. It's Bats and Sticks with Dave Rudin, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bats and Sticks. I'm Dave Rudin. We're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, served fast. We're down to final games of the regular season. This is both the last week of the regular season and the start of the playoffs at the end of the week. We're going to keep bats today and save the sticks for next weekend because, barring anything really unexpected, we're going to have the top lacrosse teams advance to the semifinals next week. So we'll focus more on lacrosse next week. For now, we're going to do bats and baseball and softball. We got a good show lined up for you. But joining us in a little bit from the New Canaan baseball team, we have its first-year coach, Jay DeVito, on the cusp of qualifying for the FCAC tournament. We're going to have Dustin Pitty from the Darien baseball team, who's having a great year. He's sort of flown underneath the radar a little bit, but we're going to talk to him, one of the top pitchers in the league. And then we're going to be joined by Nick DeMayo, the Darien softball coach. The Blue Wave is in the hunt for the top seed in the playoffs, and they've already qualified. And somebody who knows Dustin Pitty pretty well is my co-host, former Danbury coach Sean Ratchford. Sean, how you doing?
Doing very well, and congratulations on a very successful event Thursday night.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, we had the Hope Looms, the sister event to my walk last weekend, and it's or 2 weekends ago. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time and raised a lot of money for Alzheimer's. So thanks, Sean. It goes by so fast. Seems like we were doing the preview yesterday. We have two more games left in the regular season, and then the playoffs start this week. Barring anything really surprising, it looks like we have 9 teams for 8 spots, and we have 3 teams that have already clinched: Fairfield, Ward, Staples, and Trumbull. Ward right now has a game lead on the Wreckers and Eagles as they go for the regular season title, which they're quite familiar with over the last 5 or 6 years. And then Staples and Trumbull right behind. And then after that, we have a pack of teams. It's pretty much what we expected. We have 6 teams, and they're separated by 1 game. So it's going to be a race to the finish line where we're going to be measuring success by a nose, I think. Sean, I'm kind of curious how, first of all, let's look at the top 3 teams. You know you're already in. How do you coach for these final 2 games on Monday and Wednesday? Are you going all out and just kind of riding the wave that you got you here and trying to pick up a couple more wins for the state playoffs? Or are you kind of easing up a little bit and making sure you have particularly your pitching staff set for the postseason?
I know it's going to sound silly, but you want to try to do both. You do not want to take your pedal off the metal because it's high school baseball. You don't want them to start to think about the other things that happen at the end of year, proms and a board banquet. So you're trying to set your pitching up for the FCAC, but you're also conscious of the states. You got to remember that you want to have your number one because all the brackets will be filled now, so the best teams are not going to get a bye in the first rounds of the state. So you have to sit down with your coaching staff and say, all right, who are we going to pitch the first round? Do we pitch so-and-so the second round so he's ready for the first round of the states? It's a tough call. Luckily, Ward, Staples, and Trumbull are in a position where they can do it, and they seem to have the pitching to do it.
Baseball is so different from all the other sports, and it's really the one where your seeding doesn't make as big a difference other than wanting to be in the top 4 and get a first-round home game. But in another sport, in basketball, in soccer, yeah, when you have 3 teams like they are and when the higher seeds tend to have a higher success rate, you maybe want to get out of the 2-3 spot because you know you're going to have a more difficult semifinal game. In baseball, I tell the story, you could be the last team into the state baseball tournament and have 8 wins, but you have one pitcher who has 6 wins, and all of a sudden that's the great equalizer for a lower seed beating a higher seed. So it's a little different in baseball in that you could be one of these top 3 teams, but you're probably going to see a pretty good pitcher in the first round, especially if the lower seeded teams are able to position themselves in such a way.
Tremendous point. I think 3 or 4 years ago, you had a team win a state championship that finished the year with a losing record.
Yeah.
You know, they got hot at the right time. They won their last 5. So they walked away, you know, their head held high, and people are scratching their head saying, wait, they didn't have a winning record. That's baseball. That's the beauty for us that watch it. It's the curse for those of us that coached it and can't believe what happened to our team that won 19 games and we're going home with nothing.
And just in the FCAC playoffs last year, Fairfield Ludlow, Falcons won out of the 7th seed because they got really good pitching from their staff and Elliot Kwan and Tyler Garriak, and they were able to win out of the 7th seed. And it's not like in another sport where you're saying, wow, how did the 7th seed do that? And having to beat top seeds to get there. It's how many times, and you've done this as long as I have, do you see a team 5 through 8 win the championship? More so in baseball than any sport.
Yeah, again, I like being the hunter versus the hunted. Gives you it's something that as a coach you can sell your kids on. Hey, we're going to go out. This is a great opportunity. There's going to be college coaches in the stands. There are going to be a lot of people. The Ruins report is going to be there. You may get on TV. So you're trying to get your team excited for the opportunity and not necessarily have them worry about the moment.
You talked about trying to navigate, you know, both ends and not take your foot off the gas, but also position yourself for the playoffs. If you're one of these top 3 seeds right now, are you setting it up so you make sure your number one's going Friday in the quarterfinals?
Again, I think it comes down to your belief that the weather's going to be good and you're going to have your number one for the start of the state tournament. Because we have seen at times that the FCAC has been rained out, and next thing you know, you're 2 days away from the start of the states, and it's hard. It's a lot of thought. It's a lot of things that go into it. Sometimes people scratch their head when they show up and a team isn't throwing their number one. There's a lot of reasons why they may not be throwing that person. So,
personal
philosophy.
Let's take now the other teams that are battling to get in. You have right now a 3-way tie for 4th place, and New Canaan and Ridgefield are two of those teams, and they're playing each other tomorrow. Actually, I'm going to take the ride up to Ridgefield and watch that one. But I'm guessing if you're one of these 6 teams battling for 5 spots right now, it's just get in and worry about tomorrow. If you don't take care of today, there's no tomorrow. Or is there a part of you that's saying, well, if I don't have my number one, we're not gonna have any chance of winning a first round game. So I'm going to try to get into the playoffs and make sure that my number one is available to win a first round game. How are you looking at it from one of these other teams' standpoints?
Get in, no matter what. You try to get in. I mean, the 4 seed is very interesting to me because I think New Canaan, with their new field and with the turf, that is a home field advantage. So if I'm them, I'm looking to get that home game. So people come here and you have the wow factor. Oh, my God, look at this place, especially if the team didn't play there early in the year. So very important for a couple of the teams to end up 4 with a home game. And other teams just get in. You never know what's going to happen. You never know a kid that on paper is supposed to be lights out. Now the college that he wants is there. The college coach is there, so he's a little hyped up. He's got a little more adrenaline, overthrown, and next thing you know, he's given up a couple runs in the first inning. Now panic sets in, and we go out, I can't do this, I can't do that. It's no longer a relaxed game, and baseball will punish you if you get big muscled. What I mean by that, if you get tight. So it's important. We don't know the mindset. They are high school students still. So that's the hardest thing as a coach. Who do you go to? Who will you have on your staff that can take Dave and have him take a deep breath and bring him back to the present moment?
Did you play at Capo Field last year?
We did not. I was heartbroken. We thought we were going to get a chance. We ended up playing them the last game of the year. Fortunate for us, it was a win, and unfortunately for them, it was a loss that knocked them out of the FCX. And again, another sales point as a coach, we're not going to make the FCX, but you have a chance to play and get ready for a whatever. There was no states for last year with the record that we have. So this is walking off the field, your last time as a group together, seniors, that you can say we won our last game leaving the high school field.
I was at Capo for the first time Wednesday when they played Trumbull. Boy, what a place that is! I walked right. New Canaan was taking infield outfield at the time, so I walked to the Trumbull dugout first. And dugout is a dugout. And the first thing before I even said hi to Phil Pacelli and Buddy Bray was, "Can you believe this place?" And they were in awe between the turf field, real bullpens. It's just unbelievable. If they had lights and if they had the capacity to put in fans, that would be the perfect place to hold postseason games.
Yeah, and Jay, who you're going to have on in a second here, talked about it in the preseason. He sees it as the premier field in the state of Connecticut. You know, I think Elliott Park is still up at UConn. It's still great. I love Muzzy Field, but boy, it's got to be in the top five, and you're talking about college facilities versus a high school. So as a high school facility, it's probably second to none.
Yeah, it's there are definitely some colleges that would crave some sort of field like this. New Canaan's like a Division III college just with the facilities they have. Go ahead.
Again, that's an opportunity, Dave. You know, that was Darien when they first got their turf. All of the colleges played there. So your high school kids get to see a preseason college game there. So New Canaan may be lucky enough to get a New Haven, to get some of the colleges of Yale that can't necessarily get on theirs, although Yale's turf now, and use their field to be out and see. So these kids get to see, wow, this is college baseball, the speed of the game, the size of the athletes, all that's going to help him in the future.
The other thing I'm curious about, how hard it is to deal with, you have so many distractions in the spring that you don't have in the fall and winter, and you alluded to some of them before, but you have proms, you have AP exams, you have end-of-the-year festivities. It's one distraction after another. How hard is that in terms of coaching and trying to keep everybody focused?
That's why your seniors are the key. Your seniors are going to determine, did senioritis set in and we're looking for what happens after college, or are the seniors going to drive your practices? The weather's starting to get nice. Again, things have gotten a little relaxed. As you said, AP testing. You got kids running down a hill to come to a game when you're playing away and it's an hour drive, and you're telling kids, do not speed, don't do anything. But again, they're still high school kids. So there is a lot of distractions. And I think that's the seniors are the key. Are they focused? Do they have a mission? What's their why? Where are they going? That's the key.
And then you just have the proms and teams that have to play, you change schedules, or particularly if you have rainouts, teams that have to play the night after proms. It's just really crazy. But we've been talking a little bit about New Canaan baseball and Capo Field. We're going to take a break. And on the other side, we're going to be joined by the Rams coach, Jay DeVito. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Everything you need to know about high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. The Rudin Report presents Bats and Sticks with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and we've been talking baseball. I can't think of any coach that had to feel like he's ridden a roller coaster more than our next guest, the New Canaan baseball team. non-league play. They open the season and go 5-0. Then league play begins and they lose four straight games and then ride an 8-game winning streak to make a big climb up the standings before losing to Trumbull on Wednesday. And joining me right now is the Rams coach, Jay DeVito. Jay, how you doing?
Dave, good. How are you? Thanks for having me on. Sean, how you doing? I appreciate everything you guys do for our league. It's really nice to get these kids some recognition. So thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, I appreciate that as well. Just talked a little bit about the roller coaster ride. You feeling a little dizzy these days?
Yeah, I mean, that's baseball. You know, there's a lot of ups, a lot of downs. And, you know, like I said to you the other day, I think you got to try to stay as level-headed as possible through it all. There's a lot of emotions in baseball. And if you could try to stay cool, calm, and collected, usually, you know, you'll have a pretty successful year.
How do you handle your players when you're 5-0 and everybody's sky high and then you lose four games in a row and everybody, I'm sure, is kind of down and frustrated? How do you handle both of those different points in the season?
Yeah, I mean, it could be challenging during those lows. But I think, you know, we realized that, you know, we were in pretty much every single one of those games against a lot of pretty tough opponents. So, you know, we tried to stay positive through those four losses. And then the beginning of the season, it was nice to get off to a good start. We've struggled in the past. This is my first year, but I've been with these guys ever since they were freshmen. So we've struggled in the past at times at getting off to a good start, typically in the FCAC, which has kind of spiraled for us at times. But this year, you know, we were able to not get off to a great start in the FCAC and then win 8 in a row. And it was nice to see our guys respond and not, you know, kind of tumble down that path like we've done typically in years past.
You guys, you were all highly, you know, picked highly in the preseason, figured to be a contender. What were some of the keys to go on that 8-game run?
Yeah, I think some of our guys in the mound really stepped up. Zach Jocelyn started to pitch really well. Tristan McAllister has been great all year. I think our defense has been, you know, pretty sound for the most part all year. And then we had a couple guys at the bottom of our lineup step up and start hitting. We got Benny Hegel back. He was injured the first 5 or 6 games of the year. He's our starting center fielder, and he's, you know, he's been a great addition for us. He's a threat on the bases, and, you know, he's been a huge, huge help to our lineup. And then some guys at the bottom of the order, Jake Valente, Luke Ungaro, they've had really good years. And, you know, you need contributions from those guys at the bottom, because our guys at the top are pretty consistent players. You know what we're going to get from them game in and game out. And I think, you know, like I said, the bottom of the order has stepped up for us, and it's been awesome.
You moved some games up because of weather forecasts. So you haven't played since Wednesday, and you've had a little bit of a break, which is good, but you're coming off a tough 8-0 loss to Trumbull. After that was a game where everything went right. Trumbull played just about a perfect game that day in every facet. Is that like a teaching lesson for your guys? And I'm not implying that the kids were cocky at all, because I don't think that was the case. It's just one of those days when you ran into a really good team playing at its best. But is that sort of just a little bit of a reminder to your players, as good as things are going, how quickly it turns?
Yeah. I mean, we know how good of a program Trumbull is. And if we want to, you know, win a championship, which is our ultimate goal this year, we're going to have to beat teams like Trumbull, Staples, Ward, Ludlow, all those teams at the top right now. So we understand that, and, you know, we got to play better to beat those teams and try to limit our mistakes a little bit more. But I thought, you know, I thought our approaches, we had one hit, and I told the guys after the game, I thought we had pretty good swings. I thought we hit a lot of line drives and hard ground balls right at people. And then I thought defensively we made a few mistakes to give them a couple extra outs. But for the most part, I really liked our at-bats. And, you know, we know that the guys know that we got to be a little bit better, and they will be better, because we're going to prepare with the things that we need to work on. And we'll be a much better team next time we come out.
Sean, jump on in.
Coach, you're an FCAC guy, a three-sport athlete at Stanford High School, go on to play at Central. Your dad was a coach at Trinity, and you coach New Canaan. Tell me what it's like when you go back with your friends. Do they break your chops, or do they respect that you chose a different school?
They break my chops for sure, but at the end of the day, you know, they're happy for me. My best friend's the head coach at Stanford High, Mark Siricchio. My brother is the assistant coach at Stanford High. There's a lot of coaches in the league that I know. Steve Bucket was an assistant coach of mine in high school. Adrian Arango coached in my little league. So there's a lot of guys in the league that I know and have a pass with. But yeah, you know, I enjoy coaching at New Canaan. I teach at New Canaan. It's a great environment. The kids really value school. They really value sports, and they're awesome kids to be around. So I'm really enjoying it.
That's excellent. So you get the call from Jay Egan. He says, "Coach Jay DeVito, you're now the head coach of New Canaan High School. You've always been an assistant. I know you coached basketball there. You've been an assistant, and I love that you kept your staff together. I love Aaron Gallo, and now you're the head coach." Tell me philosophically how it's different. What has changed for you as a head coach versus being the assistant coach?
Yeah, I think like managing the whole program. People think, you know, you're the head coach now. You're the varsity coach. No, you're the program director. So, you know, getting those coaches at the lower levels. You know, we wanted to bring in some younger coaches and some good coaches at the younger levels. So, you know, managing that and then, you know, getting the community involved and dealing with all the logistics of running a team, that's all a part of it. So, you know, it's exciting to do that stuff, to be able to do it my way. I'm really enjoying it.
How much influence has your dad been? Again, former coach, I hope he's coaching with you. And if that's true, that's a dream come true. How has your dad's coaching helped you as a coach?
Yeah, he's been great. You know, at the beginning of the year, I was going to have him kind of bounce around from JV to varsity, and he hasn't left varsity since the first day we started. So he's been a huge influence. He was my coach growing up, and he's just a really positive impact on the bench. To have him in the dugout with the guys has made a true impact. The guys really enjoy being around him. He brings a lot of life to practice, and he's very knowledgeable. Obviously, he's been a coach for over 35 years. So it's just it's a guy that I can rely on and fall back on with questions and any concerns. You know, my whole coaching staff is very experienced. Aaron Gallo has been a coach at New Canaan for over 20 years. Mike Tisha, who I coach basketball with, has been a coach for close to 10 years. So, you know, I have a lot of experience in my coaching staff, which is really nice, and I'm truly appreciative of every one of those guys.
Biggest nugget you can give a kid who's wants to play at a Central, what's the biggest difference between you as a high school coach and player, and now you go up to Central where everybody was All-State, everybody was the All-Connecticut player? What one piece of philosophy or advice would you give them?
I would say you got to grind every day. Like, it's not, you could have a spot one day and then all of a sudden there's a kid that comes in and, you know, he's going to be the next starting shortstop. So you got to take every single day serious and continue working on your game to get better, because, you know, they bring in a lot of talent at Central. And I was one of those guys that I came in and I had a little bit of an opportunity my freshman year, and I kept working at it and kept getting better. And then eventually my last 2 years, I started every day at third base. So I just think you got to stay the course and continue working on your game, trying to stay positive and ultimately become a better player because of how hard you work.
How
thank you.
How and your dad just is so proud of you, and understandably so, and is having so much fun. I hadn't seen him in a long time until Wednesday. And he said he's the Don Zimmer of New Canaan baseball. So what about now this week? You're in the battle for the playoffs. You're tied, a three-way tie for fourth place. And you go to Ridgefield tomorrow. One of the teams tied with you. And Sean and I talked about this before you came on. How much of it is making sure you get into the playoffs? And at this point, are you also anticipating if you qualify for the playoffs and trying to position things for a first-round game on Friday?
Yeah, we've been, you know, talking with the coaching staff a little bit, going back and forth on different scenarios and different ideas. But, you know, we got to take it one game at a time. And our next opponent is Richfield, who's a really good opponent, having a great year. So that's our focus right now, is trying to win that game on Monday, and then moving on from there. Not trying to really look too far ahead of things, but really take care of business tomorrow. And, you know, we have practice later today, so focus on having a really good practice today, and then, you know, trying to win a ball game tomorrow.
Well, Jay, it's been great that athletic directors in the league are tapping younger coaches, and you certainly earned your stripes to get to this point in terms of being an assistant coach. But and it's a lot of fun for me seeing there are so many former players that I covered going out to do coaching. And Stanford is sort of infiltrated with Danny Melzer as well, who you coach with the New Canaan athletic program, and it's been great to see. But you're doing a great job there. No surprise about that. And you got the team positioned to do good things in the postseason. So thanks for taking the time here. Good luck the rest of the way, and I'll see you tomorrow afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me on. Sean, great talking to you. Thank you.
Okay, that was New Canaan coach Jay DeVito. We're going to take a break. And coming back on the other side, Danbury's Dustin Pitty. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
The Rooten Report Live presents Bats and Sticks, a look at Connecticut high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse with Dave Rooten on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and baseball is the theme for the first three quarters of the show. And we're going to go from coach to player. He's operated a little bit under the radar just because Danbury has been battling, had a lot of good games, but isn't in the playoff hunt right now. But joining me right now, one of the top pitchers in the league, Dustin Pitty. Dustin, how you doing?
Hey, how are you, man? Thank you so much for having me today.
No, thanks for coming on. You're having a great year, both batting and pitching-wise. You've got you know, you're 1-1, but you've got a 1.66 ERA and you're batting .500. So your stats are excellent. You must be happy individually with the season you're having.
Yes, sir, I am. I'm very happy with how I'm doing right now, and I'm happy with how the team is doing as well. You know, it's just all the work that I put in on and off the field and showing off.
Yep, the team, has it been frustrating? Because even the losses, you guys have been in so many games, a lot of close 1-2-run losses. Has it been a little frustrating, that aspect of it?
It has been. Most games have been just 5-1 runs. But, you know, we keep working, we keep practicing, and we know we could do it. We have the team for it. We have the skill for it. It's just a matter of just keep going and not giving up.
Your background, you were born in Panama. I understand that your father goes back and forth from there, and your Kevin Williams, your coach, told me that I guess you train with a pretty renowned coach there. How's baseball different in Panama than in Danbury?
It's actually very different. I don't know if this is the word for it, but I think it's very rudimental. Like, they don't focus on technology a lot. They just focus on basic training, just long tossing, using softballs a lot, weighted balls. They don't focus on spin rate and stuff. And I feel like that's what helped me a lot with baseball and pitching in general, and just not focusing on velocity for the first, you know, couple of months being there and not really playing games, just focusing on the little things, which is very different from over here. Over here is a lot of technology with TrackMan and velocity, spin rate, and all that. And not focusing on that has helped a lot.
You ever hear of Sean Rochford?
I have.
I'm going to let him ask you some questions here.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations. You're doing a tremendous job. And I believe with you on the mound that Danbury can beat anybody. You talked about last summer not choosing to go down and work on your game. Can you talk about exactly what you worked on? What was your goal when you went there? Because most kids talk about, oh, I got to play games. I think you made a great decision. But can you talk about what your goals and what you worked on?
Yes, sir. Well, my goals going down to Panama were just getting better individually. Just I knew I was small. I went to VLOU the winter before that. They said I had to just build strength and just focus on getting bigger in general and not focusing on mechanics, spin rate, velocity. And that's exactly what I did. Went down there, just gained weight, went to the gym. And when I head to the field, focused on throwing hard and not worrying about getting on the mound until fall, which is what I did. And that's really what worked.
Now, I think your future's still in front of you, which means that you're going to have some choices in college. Do you see yourself as a PO? Do you see yourself as a pitcher who plays the field? Or do you see yourself as an Ohtani that pitches and DHs?
Well, right now I see myself as a PO. But, I mean, it all kind of depends on what the coaches tell me. But from who I've spoken to and the colleges that I've spoken to, it's really just me focusing on PO-ing in college, and that's what I feel like I would do.
And where are you going to play this summer? You're going to go back to Panama, or do you hope to play in New Jersey like you used to do? What are you going to do this summer?
I'm gonna play with the Franklin Scout team, just a summer team down in, mainly based out of Miami, but they're really just nationally. There's just players all over the nation, but yeah, I'm going to play with the Franklin Scout team and just pitch and see how it goes.
Can you talk about how an opportunity like that comes along? People are like, oh, Franklin, what is that? How did that opportunity come along and how will you make that happen?
So I started posting on Twitter this summer, actually. I started posting on Twitter and I got a lot of attention from that. And a lot of travel teams reached out. And one was the Padres Scout team. So when I saw the name Padres Scout team, I researched them, I looked them up, and I knew that was the team for me. And then they changed to the Franklin Scout team due to some changes in the ownership of the Padres and stuff. So now they're known as the Franklin Scout team. But they've always been the Padres Scout team, so I knew that was my opportunity to just play this summer. And it's a great team to just play and get attention from.
That's awesome. Now, congratulations. That's fantastic, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Dustin, what's – and I'm intrigued by this Franklin Scout team. I heard about it, but so you basically travel all over the country. How does that work? I don't know that a lot of people around here are familiar with travel teams that are national and not regional.
Yeah, so – this team and a lot of national teams like the Dirtbag National Teams National, they travel around the country. So, for example, my team, we have a tournament down in Florida with the Blue Jays spring training complex. Then we go to East Cobb in Georgia and Arizona, North Carolina, then Boston College. Just tournaments where hopefully I get the most attention from and the most opportunity from. That's really what national teams are, and kids all around the country play for. And then regional teams just go to, talk to guys like regionally. For example, like Keynes, Connecticut, they talk to guys in Connecticut mainly, and they play around Connecticut. So, yeah.
You brought up something that intrigues me, and I never asked anybody about it, but you talked about posting on Twitter, and I see a lot of athletes all the time, softball players more so, posting game changer highlights and kind of highlighting what they're doing. How much interest does social media posting generate for you with schools?
It gets you a lot of interest. And I try to tell a lot of guys here on the team to just start posting on Twitter. I didn't believe it at first. I saw a video on another social media on Instagram about it, and I said, you know what, let me give it a try. And I started posting videos this summer. And I just got a lot of attention from coaches, from travel ball teams, college coaches. And, you know, I feel like that's the best way to get seen is from Twitter. And I try stressing that a lot to the guys here on the team.
That's interesting. I've seen it all the time. I never really asked an athlete about it. What about this summer? Your coach, Kevin Williams, told me you're kind of hoping this summer will give you the chance to kind of lock in with college.
Yeah. This summer, this is one of my, if not the most important summer, because last summer I missed, so I didn't really get seen by college coaches, and I just decided to get better, obviously. So it's my last summer, and this I have to, you know, I knew I had to choose the best team for me this summer to get the most attention, and I'm focused on this summer a lot because this is really an important summer to get coaches.
Well, Dustin, you have a great story, and you're having a great season, and you have a really bright future. So I wish you the best of luck on everything, and I'll be interested to see what your college decision is, and I wish you so much success as you get to that point. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me again. Thank you, Sean Rushford. Thank you, Dave Rudin.
You're welcome.
For having me. Blessing, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Dustin. Okay. I appreciate it.
You earned the right. You did it.
Absolutely. That was Dustin Pitty of the Danbury baseball team. Sean, as we finish up here, what's your view of the playoffs? Because by the time we're on next week, we'll be talking about semifinals and quarterfinal games. Do you have any kind of general view of the playoffs? Is it going to be one of these top three teams that have sort of separated a little bit from the pack and have beaten each other? Or any sleepers that you see?
Yeah, again, baseball's baseball. As Jay DeVito said, anybody can beat anybody on a given day. What you hope is that they're clean games. Whoever wins the game, it's not on an error, it's not on a mistake, it's not on a call. You want to go out and tip your hat to the other team that, hey, you guys were better than us today. Doesn't mean don't think we can beat you tomorrow, but today, you're the champions for today. That's really, really hard to accept because it doesn't happen in other sports.
And baseball's so hard. You just can't predict baseball again. Just everybody has a pitcher. A lot of teams have two pitchers. So it'll be interesting. Baseball playoffs are always amongst the most interesting, if not the most, just because lower seeds are on a more equal ground with higher seeds usually than other sports. So, Sean, great show. It was fun having Dustin on. He's really an interesting story. But we had a lot to talk about today, and we'll have a lot to talk about next Sunday. So thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Thanks, Sean. We're going to take a break, and we're going to stay with the bats, but we're going to go from baseball to softball and Darien coach Nick DeMeo on the other side. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to go from baseball to softball, and boy, softball, I don't remember seeing standings or so many teams that have chances to win a league championship as we do this year. And one of the coaches of one of the teams that's in a three-way tie for first place, and that's the Blue Wave. And joining me is its coach, Nick DeMeo. Nick, how you doing?
Good, Dave. Good, Dave. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good.
As we get ready for these final two games over the next 2 days, do you remember it? And you've been doing this a while. Do you remember so many teams that have a chance, a real chance to win the championship? I mean, we have one game separating the top six teams. I don't know that that's ever happened. And you can make a case. I don't think anybody would be surprised if any of this, if any of the six win the title.
No, I, you know, I agree with you. I don't recall this type of scenario where these teams are all so evenly matched with almost identical records. For the most part, they all have a quality pitcher. And so, you know, at this point in a week's time, there'll only be four teams left. And, you know, it could be any one of those four teams.
And you're looking at it right now where the 3-6 and the 4-5 game, two of these teams are going to be, you know, four of these teams are going to be playing each other, and two really, really good teams are not going to make it to the semifinals. Is it one of those things where you really want to finish first and second? Not to say that you'll have an easier game, but you'll certainly have an easier game than if you have to play one of these other teams?
Well, I think the most important thing is to get in the top four so that you're playing home on Thursday, because you got games on Monday and Tuesday. Then you have sort of a day to prepare, and it's going to help the team that doesn't have to travel, because, you know, it just seems like, you know, wherever we're going, unless you're just one town over, you're sort of getting there and you're rushed. And so I think, you know, I think there is a big advantage to being one of those four home teams. And plus you have your home crowd and your home field. So I think that's an important factor here. That's where teams are going to want to be. And a lot of these teams, as you said, are playing each other on Monday and Tuesday.
How about you've got holding a couple of aces there. You talk about the top pitchers, and your pitcher is considered the best of the bunch, Vivian Knott. What's it like? She's a Stanford commit. What's it like having the opportunity to coach such an elite pitcher?
Well, you know, it's great, and you know, it gives the team a lot of confidence. You know, when we're out there and Vivian's on her game, you know, teams are struggling to put the ball in play. And, you know, her stats show that. And so, you know, that's a tremendous advantage. And, you know, there are a couple of other girls that are certainly Trumbull pitcher and St. Joe's pitcher that have, you know, similar numbers. And so that, you know, if you remember last year, the FCAC championship game with us and St. Joe's went 14 innings, and those two pitchers were battling it out.
Yeah. I was at your game a couple of weeks ago when you played Trumbull, and Vivian pitches a two hitter, but the first batter goes the other way and makes contact, gets a triple and then a wild pitch. And, she pitches a brilliant game, I think 15 strikeouts. But you get one hit by Pippa and end up losing the game. So it just goes to show, as great as Vivian is, and she's not going to score, she's not going to give up a lot of runs, but, you know, you could come up on the short end of a 1-0 or 2-1 game.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's one of the things about softball specific, I think, a little more than baseball, is that, you know, as a fielder, you have to keep your head in the game, because, you know, pitcher striking out 15, 18 batters, you're not seeing a lot of action. You're not touching the ball very often. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, players are back on their heels in those type situations, and you can't be, because one swing of the bat's going to determine the game. And that's what happened in, as you said, in that Trumbull game.
How big an advantage for you is it also? You have a good number two in Claire William. I saw you started her against Ridgefield on Friday, but how much of a help is that, where, you know, she can give you a couple of starts and keep Vivian fresh for the postseason?
Well, that's, you know, that's huge for us, because if one pitcher is, you know, if you only have one pitcher that you feel like you could put out there, then there's the fatigue factor that goes in and comes in. You know, the old fallacy that softball players can throw every day, that's not really true. It's a lot of wear and tear on the body, just physically, maybe not as much on the shoulder, but now you have the elbow issues. So,
Having a second quality pitcher has been, you know, very important. It enables us to, you know, whether we're starting Viv or starting Claire, you know, we have, you know, the idea is to have somebody fresh. And also you have the ability to give teams a different look, especially if you feel like, you know, late in the game, they're starting to catch on and maybe there is a little drop in velocity. So it's a big advantage to have two quality pitchers.
We got about 40 seconds left. When you've got this kind of a race and you're already in the playoffs, but what's it going to take? Is it just the obvious good pitching, don't make mistakes? The team that does it three times is going to win?
Yeah, and you got to get a little bit of luck. That's what I think. You got to find those balls, have to find a hole somewhere. Because these teams that are in the playoffs here are all good teams and they're all good players. And so they can catch the ball, they can throw the ball. So, you know, you've got to be good and your pitcher has to be on her game, but you got to get a little bit of luck.
Well, Nick, you're right in the thick of things and you got a good hand to play. So thanks a lot. Good luck the rest of the regular season and in the playoffs. And thanks for taking a little bit of time here.
Thanks, Dave. My pleasure. See you soon.
Take care, Nick. That was Nick DeMayo of the Darien softball team, and that's Bats and Sticks for today. We're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. End of the regular season and then the playoffs next week. We'll be talking about it. Have a good Sunday and a good week, everybody.